And welcome back to the diner, folks. I'm James Lilex, sitting here at my usual place at the counter, the long boomerang pattern Formica counter, with a chrome ribbon that wraps around it and stools that revolve all the way around, as diner stools are meant to do. It's an empty night here, pretty much. I'm enjoying a good stern cup of diner blend coffee, the nature of which will either put hair on your chest or take it off if you actually pour it on your skin. The diner is pretty much a smoking place, if you want. And pretty much anything you want, you can get here. But what I can't get tonight is what I want to get on the diner radio. As you know, the diner radio, like the diner television, which is unfortunately still offline. Offline, did they use that word when they were making 1956 Crosley televisions? I don't think so. The diner radio is busted, broken in a peculiar way. Usually, I can pull in at nearly any station, any country, any show, any time on this wonderful device. But tonight, all I can get is stuff like this.
Weer een sensationele teamlead stunt. Lang speelplaten van de maand met verzamelde hits, maar ook nooit vrijgegeven opnamen. Teamlead platen bij je platenhandelaar voor 7,50 gulden. Deze maand de Motions.
And I think Krusty the Clown said it best when he said, "What the hell was that?" Apparently that is some 1967 Netherlands pop radio. I have a bit of a problem with the Dutch language. Nothing against the Dutch themselves, although give me time, I suppose. I should amend that. Once, my wife was living with her sister, and her sister had a friend who came to stay with them, and he was a fine fellow. He was a Dutchman, and his name was Hank. And there was just something amusing about this tall fellow rucksacking his way through America, known to us all as Hank the Dutchman. We were easily amused in 1987. Anyway, for some reason, the only thing I can pick up is 1960s and 1970s Dutch pop radio. Let's sample some more, shall we?
Lekker, zo'n igloo beefburger. Miles Place, net goed gekruid, met een gezellig grillruitje. En niet duur. Zet hem vanmiddag of vanavond op tafel. Goed idee, hè? In Iglo's Ideenwinkel.
Yes, and I believe he speaks for us all when he says, "Let's have a nice Iglo's Ideenwinkel." I'll bet that's a rustic accent. I'll bet that's the sort of accent we're supposed to make fun of. Perhaps it sounds like a peculiar regional dialect that requires its speakers to fill their mouth with cheese and pebbles. I don't know. But it's different than the previous spot, no? That's because the Iglo's Ideenwinkel Igloo Beef Burger, which apparently posits that the height of beef burger satisfaction consists of eating a sandwich named after an indigenous Eskimo domicile made out of pressed snow. Anyway, that spot came from 1973. The previous spot, the overamped, overhyped teeny bopper spot, was from 1967. And you can picture the two guys who are doing those spots, can't you? The guy from 1967, you know, had a mad paisley shirt and an ascot fluffed into his neck and round circular sunglasses tinted red and a mop-top haircut. And you know that the guy doing the 73 haircut, the 73 spot, is probably wearing, you know, Mork and Mindy era overalls with a rainbow shirt or something. You can hear the culture go downhill. It's just nice to know that as American culture cratered in the 70s, so did European culture. Well, let's see if there's any more Netherlandishness to get out of the diner radio before I send it back to the shop.
Leef met plezier. Rook met plezier. Rook. Taal nou export. Wereldbekend aroma. Taal nou export.
Well, that seems to have been an ad for Pall Mall cigarettes, right? It's interesting. Pall Mall is an American brand with a British name. The previous ad was for hamburgers, and hamburgers are an American invention. God bless America. But they're named after a city in Germany. And then you have the 1967 spot for the Motions. Well, the Motions were a Dutch group who had an English name. So in other words, things were multicultural far before multiculturalism was everybody's obsession. But nevertheless, you do detect a particularly American cast to these things, don't you? That's right. We've been at this cultural hegemony game for an awful long time, and we're very, very good at it.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
And thank you, Pepsi. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to have myself a nice classic 1960s Diet Pepsi right now.
That's good saccharine.
I recently actually changed my cola preferences. I went from Coke to Pepsi. It's quite a personal paradigm shift not to pop too many peas on this cheap microphone. It's like changing political parties, frankly. It makes you wonder why you believed the way you believed before. Well, in the case of Coke, I think it had to do with two things. One, the bottle. I loved that bottle. When you held that bottle in your hand, you felt as though you were connecting with an elemental and iconic piece of Americana, even though it was essentially just a nicely designed piece of green glass. But still, this was Coke. This was Merca. And the second had to do with the ads, particularly the ads of the 40s, and particularly the ads done by Hannon Sunblom, who was an exceptional commercial illustrator. He did great All-American Dames, and he did great World War II art. In retrospect, that's probably one of the reasons why I drank Pepsi, was the canny ability of the marketers 60 years before to twin this particular variant of sugar water with the Allied effort against Germany and Japan. You felt somehow that by drinking Pepsi, you were endorsing the goals and the motivations and the sacrifice of the greatest generation, even now. Well, I got tired of Coke after a while, and I sort of cast my net about to examine my other cola options. RC was right out, because you can't find it, and you just feel weird for drinking it as though you're trying to prove something. I gave Pepsi a try, and I found that I liked it. But I didn't like the ads. The ads from the 40s weren't very good. The ads from the 50s, yeah. But the ads from the 60s were very interesting, especially in the early days when they came up with the Pepsi generation, for those who think young. Now, in this case, the 60s version of the generation that drank Pepsi, they were the anti-hippies. The guys looked like Tom Swift, about age 23 or so, you know, the blonde hair shaved at the neck. And the girls all had the flip hairstyle. They looked like the kind of people who would go to an anti-war rally, yes, but only to throw bottles of Pepsi at the heads of the demonstrators. Interesting stuff. Later, of course, in the later 60s, early 70s, the Pepsi generation went downhill, as did every other aspect of American culture, but I'm repeating myself, aren't I? Well, we're going to try something new here. Since the radio isn't working, I figured we'd have live music, and we actually have, here at the diner tonight, first, Jim Reeves, who is a much beloved country western star, setting up in the corner of the diner back. Are you ready? They're about ready to go now. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the diner, Jim Reeves.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we old bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, we old bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?
I'm sorry, but that's just unacceptable. That's just wrong music. I had to shoot him. I didn't mean to shoot Jim Reeves. Well, I did. I mean, I was aiming for his guitar, and you know the way the guitarists hold it out in front of them. So I guess, you know, if you're going to aim for the guitar, it sort of follows you're going to hit the guitarist. There I've done it. I've shot Jim Reeves. Let me go over and see if he's okay.
You okay, man? You all right?
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we old bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, we old...
Okay, this isn't working out as I intended. Let's go over to the jukebox and play a song, okay? Sorry.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we old
pair, the day is set fair, a while is set near to bring us good cheer. In winter time or summer time or leisure time and pleasure time, the daily times at Big Ben chimes are radio times. For Christmas time, the party time, for dinner time or dancing time, the daily times at Big Ben chimes are radio times. Olden days had different ways, their pleasures then were fewer. Modern days will get my praise, our wireless ways are newer. A stirring time, a whirring time, a record time for father time, the daily times that Big Ben chimes are radio time.
I've been consulting the internet while that song was playing. I've got a rather nifty computer setup here at the diner. I have a Cray mainframe in the basement. I've got a Philco Predicta for a monitor and an old Remington keyboard. Pretty cool. Anyway, I went to Google and I discovered that Jim Reeves actually died in a plane crash in 1964. So that isn't, or wasn't, Jim Reeves there at all, which means it was either a professional Jim Reeves impersonator or, more likely, a Terminator robot from the future sent back in the form of Jim Reeves. So I'm just going to keep an eye on him. That tune we're listening to, Henry Hall and the BBC Orchestra, Radio Times, it's called, from the 1930s. And it reminds you that the term radio was very much a harbinger of this wonderful new technological age in which people found themselves. Everything was named radio. That's why, for example, you have RKO Radio Pictures. That's why you have the radio flyer. I mean, the radio flyer is a little cart for kids to be pulled around in. There's nothing radiophonic about it, but the very name meant the future, the brave new technological future. It's sort of the way that cyber was used in the 90s, in the sense that a snowboard would be a cyberboard, dude. Anyway, let's break for news.
News Radio, I'm Lori Dude. Damaging testimony at Michael Jackson's trial. The prosecution put a PR specialist on the stand. Anne Marie. All right, fine.
What the heck happened to the news? That's the damnedest thing. You know, this day is just, it's not turning out precisely as I expected, and I'm not sure what more could go wrong. Uh-oh. Okay, now the Jim Reeves impersonator is congealing into a pool of liquid metal. Let's see, how do I defeat this on the internet? Typing, searching how to... What Cyberdyne system? What model are you? Oh, he's not going to tell me. Okay, I found a page here on the internet on how to defeat Terminators. It's on Wikipedia, so you never know, but I'm going to give it a shot. It says that I should freeze the liquid metal with something cold like from a fire extinguisher. So I'm going to give that a try, and here you listen to the radio. I'll be right back, I hope.
De prijsbreker biedt u de grootste sortering op het gebied van dames en heren. Confectie, bonneterie, regenmantels enzovoort tegen de laagste prijzen. Attentie, in de maanden juni en juli bij de prijsbreker op alle bondartikelen 15% korting. Uw nieuwe bondjas, stola of bondhoedje voor deze winter, nu reeds bij de prijsbreker en met 15% korting.
U koopt veel beter en goedkoper bij de prijsbreker.
There. I think he's down. I think he's down for good. All right, well, before we end the diner today, Let's just clear our palate with a little Helen Kane from 19-something or other, I don't know what. I Have to Have You, the delightful Cupie Pie boop-boop-be-doo stylings of the inimitable Helen Kane.
Darling, I'm just wild about you. I'm just not sensible. I can't do a thing without you. You're indispensable. Loving, I have to have loving. But when I'm having my loving, I have to have you. Moment, I must have my moment. But when I'm having my moment, I have to have you. Sometimes I get so blue waiting for you to take me. I can't go on like this. Offer me a kiss and make me happy. New thrills. Oh, I have to have new thrills. But when I'm having my new thrills, I have to have you. I hate to take weekends, but if I have to take weekends, I have to have you. Woo! Night folks. Oh, I hate to take night folks, but if I have to take night folks, I'll have to have you. Oh, honey, what's the sense of this suspense we live in? Come on, for goodness sake, son, give me a break and give in. Baby, whoopee! I wanna make whoopee! And when I wanna make whoopee, I have to have you.
Just to be sure. I love Helen Kane. I really do. I'm not sure if that's naughty but sweet or sweet but naughty, but whatever the case, we'll probably be hearing more from her in the weeks to come. That brings to a conclusion this episode of The Diner, and I would like to apologize for the way things have gone. I didn't mean for it to go like this. I'd intended today to talk about X-1, a 1950s NBC science fiction radio show, but as we know, the Diner radio didn't work, inasmuch as it could only pull in 1960s and 70s Dutch ads. And then, of course, there was the whole problem with you-know-who. And now, well, I'm resigned to pretty much spending the rest of the night here at the diner with a shotgun in one hand and a fire extinguisher in the other, waiting for the little pieces of mercury on the floor to reform, congeal, stand up, and assume the dimensions of Jim Reeves, a country western singer who died in 1964 but nevertheless has manifested himself in the diner, possibly to kill me for reasons that only the future knows. It's been that kind of a day, and sometimes, you know, you just have weeks that end like this. In any case, we'll see you back next time. I thank you for stopping by the diner. I'm James Lilacs, and we go out as usual with Study and Brown. See you next time. Ah, crap.